Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Now, I've heard Sharif take my question a little bit further this week. He's asked Mickey, he's asked Broadus, he's asked a couple other people about this. But my question was, if Jason Garrett goes 14-2, is it going to make a difference? Is it going to make a difference at all if he doesn't win? Was it the Super Bowl?
I even say get past the divisional round. By the way, 14-2 would be the best regular season record in the history of this franchise.
Listen to that. Listen to what he just said. 877-881-1053. The best record in franchise history. Now, I know that we're dreaming right now because this team's 3-0 against a very weak schedule, but 14-2 seems feasible. I know the back end of this schedule gets a little bit tougher too, and that's going to be a lot more difficult, but if this team is what it's been in the first 3 weeks, then there's no reason to believe that they can't do that. And Jason Garrett, right at the forefront, pushing this thing along because he built the foundation of what the Cowboys are right now. The consistency of what they are. And while people hate clock management, the way he answers questions, he has been right there the whole time, learning every step of the way and trying to get his guys to be consistent and never, never give up on what they're trying to accomplish. And so I do wonder if, and I think Sharif's model of the question was, is it out of line to ask that Jason Garrett get his contract now?
Yes.
Get it now rather than at the end of the season. For me, I'm always in favor of dangling the carrot. Keep that thing going, and that, because that's a motivator. Not only is it the rest of the team, if they truly love Jason Garrett, if they truly care about him, and if Dak's out there without a contract, and if Amari's out there without a contract, and their head coach doesn't have one either, they're all in the boat together. They're all fighting for the same thing together, and if they're all saying, we love this coach so much, and this is his last chance, and we want to accomplish all these things, then, man, there's no better carrot to dangle than go get that championship.
There is no way in hell I would give Jason Garrett a contract extension right now. I see absolutely no reason, because even if the price goes up, who cares? There's no salary cap or anything for coaches. Nobody else wants him.
What about the other side, though? The other side, and this is the one I heard Mickey mention this, is what coach are you going to get that can work with Jerry and the way that this thing functions, because they aren't a normal NFL team? And what coach are you going to get that's going to walk in and say, this is the team I want, rather than this, we got to change a bunch of stuff? Because that's the way coaches are, right? We got to change stuff.
I could find 20 in a day.
That's like, what Jerry said back whenever Jimmy was coaching the team.
And guess what happened? They found somebody who won the Super Bowl. Like, I could find 20 in a day that would want to come into this situation as dysfunctional as it is, because you're coming to the most valuable and well-known franchise in all of athletics. And sure, are there some weird things happening? But you don't have to go in and coach the Dolphins. Oh, hold on. So I have to put up with some nonsense to come into a good team that's the most popular and well-known team in the world? Sold. I could have 20 viable candidates to you in 24 hours if given the need to find a new coach. So I heavily dispute that as an argument about what are you going to... And, like, even if that is a valid argument, so? What is that? I mean, that doesn't mean...
Are they
going to
be better, though?
I mean, they could. I don't know. Like,
because, I mean, think about it. How many times has he won the East? If he wins the East, because 14-2 would win the East.
Sure.
Would that be four times in the last 5 years now?
No.
Four times in the last... How many times has he won it? Three times in the last 4 years?
It would be four times, I think, in the last maybe 6 years, but they haven't won back-to-back.
But that would be the first time they would have won back-to-back.
Yeah, so I think it would have been four in the last 6 years. I mean, neat, but, like, that's not your goal anymore. And I'm no longer impressed by a divisional title. And that's why I kind of wonder.
Do you think Jerry is?
See, I don't think so, but that's why I'm so intrigued by your question. Because if they win the divisional title at 12-4 and they flame out, then I think, like, he's probably still gone. But if they go 14-2, there's a good chance that he wins Coach of the Year, and it's the best record in the history of the franchise. That, I think if you flame out, then I still think that you might keep him, which is the worst of all worlds, is you get Jason Garrett and you didn't win anything. Like, I'm fine with keeping Jason Garrett if you win something. Like, I'm totally fine with that. But if you win nothing and he's still here, I don't know what the hell we're doing.
I mean, if the decision were left up to me and you didn't get farther in the playoffs and that was the whole goal, the whole reason why, you know, you didn't give him an extension because of last year, you know, they ended up pretty good record as far as in the playoffs and what have you and won a game and such like that. And that's pretty common for a Jason Garrett team now to actually win a game in the playoffs. They've been doing that a little bit, but they haven't won the two games or the three games or whatever it takes. And that would be the reason why I would want to get rid of him. I don't think if your question was asked or it came to fruition 14-2, but you didn't make it to the divisional round, I think Jerry gives him a contract. I really do. I think the carrot that was held up was the idea of I want this team to play better. And they do, but they don't make it any farther than they ever have. Except for, of course, the Super Bowl teams. But as far as a Garrett coach team, they don't make it as far as they ever have. But I think if you had that record and you saw the promise with everything else going on, promise leads to contracts, right?
I think you're right, and I think that's a terrible idea. Like, because if this team goes...
Oh, me too. Yeah.
But I think you're probably right, because 14-2 is hard to shy away from. The absurd part of it, though, I think is, at this point, the regular season, I don't think should matter for Garrett anymore, except for being a means to an end. Like, you have to do well in the regular season because that's the only way you'll get to the playoffs. But other than that, like, I think it should be irrelevant for him because he should be judged now on playoff success. And if you don't go any further with a team that does that well in the regular season, to me, that means you underachieve when it matters most and you're out.
Do me a favor, Kevin. Do math for me real quick.
Okay.
We'll do it faster than Francesa does. 13, 9, 10, 14.
Okay. 13, 9, 10, and 14 would be 46.
46-18 would be his record over the last 4 years then.
Yeah, but
that's
like,
dude, that's really good. Not a lot of teams get rid of coaches that are winning, have winning records.
But on the flip side, I would argue that there would only be one or two other teams that could amass that kind of record, and they would have Super Bowls attached to them. And like, that's the thing.
And you know, I guess that's the other thing, because you say at least get to the NFC Championship game.
That's all I'm asking.
Before the season started, I said it's Super Bowl or bust. And we could, you know, pop the line open and everybody could call in and I can hang up on everybody again tonight if that's what y'all want.
Are we doing
want.
That? Yeah. Like,
if that's what y'all want me to do,
I like that,
I'll hang up on every single one of you if you aren't looking at Lombardi's. Or if you aren't saying that Dak's a top three quarterback in the league right now, I can hang up on you then too. That's fine.
Oh my God, that should be a segment.
But I'm looking at 48 or 46-18, that's really good. And I kept saying Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl or bust, you got to win the Super Bowl. But when you get to that Super Bowl, you're now facing the other best team in the league, right? And it's probably the Patriots. And it's, I mean, just because you lose to the Patriots doesn't mean that you should get fired because you lost to the Patriots. Now, if you go four times in a row and lose to the Patriots, then there's something wrong, right?
Well, see, I don't necessarily agree with that because, like, I think there's a reason, like, Marv Levy kept his job. And that's why I differentiate between getting past the divisional round and winning the Super Bowl. Because I think at least if you get past the divisional round, you're showing progress. If you don't, you're showing no progress. 14, 16, 18, 19. Stop. You always stopped at the same exact point to a team that, like, maybe they were really good or maybe they were just like, they were a little bit better than you. But if you made it to the NFC Championship game or to the Super Bowl, that's, like, discernible progress. And that's farther than they've made it in a generation. Think about that. We're at the point where we're past a generation since you've been to that level. And so if you get to that level, I think he's safe no matter what. Like if the Cowboys made it to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Rams by 50 points, I don't think it matters. I still think he keeps his job.
You know what? I may just change my mind mid-segment on what Jerry Jones is going to do. Something that just kind of came to me. You're 14-2, right? So you've probably got home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
For sure.
You're also probably looked at as one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. In the past playoffs, you could look at the Cowboys' opponents and where they had to go and realize that they were underdogs going into that game. They had a chance to win that game, but as far as the statistics and Vegas and everybody else, was going to put the winner on the other side of the field and not the Dallas Cowboys. If he does that this year and he goes in and he's supposed to win these games and he has home field advantage and he doesn't get it done, then I actually might think that Jerry's like, no, that's not good enough because you were supposed to. Because instead of being like, oh, we got here by magic or whatever, we got here because we're that good. And I've given you a team that is that good.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. Will McClay has put together the team. I went and spent all the money that it took to get these guys back on this team so that you can have the right guys. Now, I guess the other question is, has Jerry had that long plan of letting him not just get and acquire and coach the guys immediately, but coach them to their apex as players? And does he believe that Garrett can coach them to their apex as players, or does he think, okay, that's as far as you could go? From the 214, 14-2 gives Garrett a 3-year extension, win, lose, or draw. From the 972, Garrett has to show he can make the effective, appropriate adjustments during difficult games and make effective game management decisions. Does he really, if the offense is doing what they're doing right now? If they do this all season, what they've done to the first three teams, and then through the playoffs, I mean, and there's one game where he has a bad moment, or one game where his team just can't win, but all season long his team was awesome. You're going to judge it on one game?
I am, because I think at that point he looks at it and he says, you know what's really rocking and rolling for us? Our talent selection evaluators and our players. And I think that he leans more towards, I think that we've got the right people in place on the field and behind the scenes and not on the sidelines. So, yes, I do think that makes a difference. And he's like, you're out.
From the 254, you can't fire Garrett. This young offense just got started. Y'all are idiots. From the 405, don't sign Garrett until we sign Kellen Moore and or Chris Richard. And that's the other thing. If you get a new coach, is it going to be one of those two?
Yeah, probably.
It kind of has to if you want to keep that continuity. Otherwise, you bring in a new coach, and there's a tacit understanding when you bring in a new coach that he can hire his own guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, the whole, hey, we brought in the wonder schemes. Kid. We brought the wonder kid in to run the offense. There's a likelihood that guy's gone, right? Like Chris Richard, unless you force a new head coach to deal with that guy, and then what's the point?
Well, yeah, we tried that before, and that didn't end up working out super well. So I'm with you. I think that's going to happen, that it's going to be Richard or Moore. And it's really interesting because, like, don't you view those two people as the people that are running this engine to begin with? Like,
yep.
We have this fake pretense that Rod Marinelli is the defensive coordinator, but everyone thinks it's Chris Richard. And we have this fake pretense that, like, Jason Garrett is the pseudo-offensive coordinator or the head coach. But really, everybody feels like it's Kellen Moore that's running that part of the show. You feel like it's Kellen Moore and Chris Richard that are making this team go and no other coaches.
I mean, and the players.
Coaches.
I think the coaches all do their other. I think Mark Colombo is a fantastic offensive line coach.
Sure, but the point is,
they're one of the best offensive lines in the league right now,
but
right?
The point is, nobody thinks it's Marinelli or Garrett.
Okay.
That's pushing it.
All right, so, but you think that they could move on without Marinelli and Garrett and be just fine?
You could lose Rod Marinelli, in my opinion, tomorrow, and it would make zero difference. Zero difference at all.
I go, well, he's the one that everybody talks about as far as your defensive linemen when they're talking about, hey, coach did this, coach did this.
Awesome. So the weakest part of the defense.
Right. The weakest part of the defense right now, which wasn't the weakest part last year. I want to see how they're going to play against a better opponent. I think this defense is just kind of playing to their opponent, to be honest with you. Now, as far as Kellen Moore's concern, and you want to, or Richard, who you're going to replace Garrett with, if you were to go down that rabbit hole, it's probably going to be Kellen Moore because of Sean Payton.
Man, that's a rapid jump. That is just a rapid move up the ladder. Fast. And it's wild to even think of it. I would prefer a Richard type mentality, but the style right now is the young white coach with all the offensive mindset, right?
I mean, it is, but as far as in Jerry's mind, if I were to try and be in that wherever that closet of a mind is, I would remember Sean Payton. Let him go.
I love these kinds of reactions from the 940. If you're trying to give credit to Garrett for anything, you're smoking crack. Kevin.
Wow, we just got told that we're stupid if we try to fire him.
But no, he said smoking crack.
Yeah, well,
no, that idiots. Was the one before.
No, we were idiots.
Okay.
Yeah, but Kevin lost a lot of weight. It was 176 pounds. There was no crack involved.
God.
Except for his butt crack got smaller.
Sure, that's probably true.
From the 214, we keep Richard as head coach. From the 469, Marty Schottenheimer went 14-2 his last year with San Diego and got fired.
And you know what? That's a great example because the parallels are there for sure. Because in that San Diego team, you had a team that had done well, playoffs, but they couldn't break through to what the Chargers had determined was the other side that they needed to be on. And that's why he got fired. That's why the 14-2 is so intriguing. You've been 13-3 before. You have never, ever in the 60-year history of the Dallas Cowboys been 14-2. And that was the only thing that gives me pause. Anything less than that and not getting past the divisional round, I think he is gone.
All right. So basically, Garrett, just do enough to get into the playoffs. That's all that Kevin wants. But then when you get in the playoffs, succeed just enough to not get to the Super Bowl.
I mean, look, nobody doubts, right, that 9-7 in an NFC Championship appearance is better than 14-2 in a divisional loss, right?
It feels weaker. It feels weaker than that, man. It does. It just feels weird.
Well, put me on team NFC Championship game. The hell with the regular season record.
I'd rather win the Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah, okay, that's fine.
You
that's
said you just wanted to get to the NFC Championship game. But I said win the Super Bowl.
If my option is or win the Super Bowl, I'll take Super Bowl.
We got to go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the last series ever at Globe Life Park is upon us. So what is your favorite singular Rangers memory ever at the ballpark? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Frankel & Frankel, fighting for car and truck wreck victims for over 25 years. The number is 214-333-3333, or you can check them out online at frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, the last homestand.
It's here.
At Globe Life Park starts tomorrow night because the Rangers went after it today. Mike Minor got to his 200 strikeouts, and for the rest of history, we'll always know that he got it legitimately. Nobody will ever care beyond next year. But
that might be true.
the whole point, though, is this is the last one, and it's kind of fitting, the two biggest franchises in all of baseball. I mean, maybe aside from the Dodgers.
You mean not the Rangers?
Yeah,
right?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees, or how you finish out your season.
Cubs, Dodgers, they're definitely up there.
Yeah, but I think the only story ESPN talks about is Red Sox, Yankees,
and the Yankees are the biggest. So,
and I think it would be awesome to get a couple of wins here at the end. Are the Yankees playing for anything at this point, Kevin?
Yeah, they still want to try to get a best record, I do believe.
Okay, so then they're trying to get something. Maybe the Rangers can spoil that a little bit and enjoy something in the last one. And
hopefully, if you spoiled it, though, you'd help out the Astros. That's a not to make it too tough for you, but
all right. And real quick, Kevin, I'll ask the question, but then I want to give what would be my favorite moment ever. Okay, this is the last week at Globe Life Park, and we're asking your single greatest memory of Globe Life Park. Now, whether it's the memory of what you saw happen on the field, something that you experienced in the stands. I remember one night being in the stands and I was just getting into Pokemon Go and somebody lit an incense at that place and it was just crazy, Colby.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Did you say incense?
Yeah, one of those incense for the Pokemon. Anyway, it's a long story. But what's your single greatest memory at Globe Life Park? 877-881-1053. And Kevin, we discussed this last night, and I would totally do it. I would give up 105 losses next year for Nolan Ryan to come back on Sunday and pitch a no-hitter to close out Globe Life Park.
Because he may or may not is going to be there this weekend, mostly May. And so would you sacrifice? Yeah, we talked about this off air.
Totally, and that would be my favorite moment ever at Globe Life Park.
And he just rolls out of retirement.
97-year-old Nolan Ryan walks out there and throws heat all day long.
All right, I got to admit, that would be one of the more incredible things that's ever happened. No hitter number 8. I would probably even be willing to sacrifice.
He takes a whole bottle of Advil after the game.
He probably took a whole bottle before the game.
Yeah. I could see that, but that would be pretty freaking incredible if that went down.
Yeah.
I'm not like really anticipating that, but you know.
877-881-1053, your single greatest moment from the 817, Benji Molina's cycle.
Yeah, he got hurt after that, which is a shame, but yeah, no,
takes a lot to run around those bases, dude.
Oh, yeah, and as somebody who is now medium-sized and used to be very hefty, I definitely understand that. I can't believe he made it. I was really proud of him. It did a lot for fat people everywhere.
Colby, you've been in this area for a very, very long time.
Yes, I have.
And you've seen a lot of things happen out at Globe Life Park. What's your favorite moment?
You know, the favorite moment for everybody is, of course, the strikeout.
Oh, we got audio of that.
But I was going to
Are you going to go a different direction?
I am.
Oh, man.
It's his moment, Kevin. Don't spoil his moment.
But don't say the
you
other
You can't tell
moments.
Him how to moment.
I am going to tell
you
him
can't
how
tell
to
him
moment.
How to moment, dude. All right.
But mine is strange because as soon as you ask that question, my brain goes, Gary Matthews Jr. catch.
Oh, that catch was pretty sweet.
That was awesome.
Just the stealing of him just twisting, grabbing, and then just showing everybody I've caught baseball.
And you know what's even greater about that, Colby, is...
They made a bobblehead.
They have... Yes, Kevin, you're right. And up in the press box where Nadell sits, they have almost every bobblehead ever. And the only bobblehead that they weren't willing to give up was that one. They
that's
said,
true.
That's the one bobblehead that they want to keep. And that's pretty crazy, dude.
Now, I'm not going to tell anybody else how to moment, but Colby just kind of referenced mine. It sounds a little something like this.
1-2, 2-2. 6-1, the Rangers lead in the top of the ninth. Feliz the high set. Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball, strike 3 call. The Rangers are going to the World Series.
Wow. And you know what's crazy about that? I stuck around late to listen to that, Kevin. I couldn't watch the game because I was covering a high school football game.
Yes.
My high school football game ended, and the guy that I was sitting next to, the great Keith Whitmire, he was listening to the game at the same time, and we sat there and listened to that together and kind of shared a hug.
I mean, we've been waiting for years and years and years, and it just felt like everything came in as part of that moment. Like somebody that you made a move for with Neftali Feliz gets the strikeout against the team that had knocked you out of the playoffs the first 3 times you were there. Against the player who was like, oh, I'm too good to be in blah, 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 blah. Like, it just felt like it all came together in that one magical moment. And for that, and to get you to the World Series, like, outside of obviously them winning the World Series, I cannot imagine a single moment ever coming close to that.
Kevin, they didn't win the World Series.
Yes, I am well aware of that.
I don't know if you remember, but they had a chance.
Oh, my God, yes. I know what happened after that.
Nelson Cruz running out into right field. Was out of position. That's the thing people forget about Nelson Cruz.
How do you sleep at night?
That he was out of position. I'm just trying to defend the guy. I mean, he's getting ready to go to the playoffs right now with another team who hit 300 home runs this year. By the way, don't forget that.
And I will.
He's a big part of it.
Yeah, I wonder how he just got better all
because
of a sudden.
The baseballs, Kevin. It's all about the baseballs.
Uh-huh. He also got suspended for steroids.
The baseballs are juiced, and the players want straws.
And it was just deer antler stuff, right, with him? It wasn't just the total steroids.
Yeah, just deer antler, dude. Like, how's that going to help you?
Right.
Rub
some deer antlers on you and see what happens.
My single favorite moment in that stadium, single favorite moment in the stadium, has nothing to do with baseball. Except for the field.
I know the answer.
My friend's dad asked us to sprinkle some of his ashes on the field whenever he passed away. And my buddy came to me and said, can you do it? And I said, yes, I think I can. and I was working the ALCS where Nelson Cruz hit the walk-off grand slam. He also hit a home run. He was the MVP
so
of that series,
when
dude.
When you say Nelson Cruz, that I want to shut it down, but yes.
And I
that was lovely.
I was working that day, and I had the ashes in my pocket. Me and KT were working at opposite stations. Snuck out onto the field while MLB at bat or whatever was on. Like MLB their show was on that day. It was Chris Rose and who's the other guy. They were out there doing their thing, and I walked down the foul line and sprinkled the dust all over that area of the outfield and just kind of let it all go down. Kevin, I kid you not, where Michael Young caught the ball to end that series and go to the World Series is where I was, where I sprinkled those. So that's those two connecting is my single favorite memory, because that ballpark had so many other things to it, man. You know, when we left that place after a game, it was quiet. We got to see everything else about it, all the dirty parts of it. You get down underneath the stadium, it's so much different than what you see when you're sitting up in the nosebleeds. When you're sitting out there, it's you get to see the bowels of that thing, and it really is cool to see it all.
The bowels are dirty.
The bowels are dirty. Yes, that's right. From the 972 Derek Hollins game in the World Series, that was my favorite game ever pitched. I mean, it was our first World Series win. It was awesome. It was wonderful.
What about was the Kenny Rogers perfect game in the old stadium then?
No, it was here.
Yeah, okay. It was the new stadium.
Okay, because I remember about that night is...
July 28th, 1994.
Okay, so the first year of the stadium. What I remember about that year is one of the local stations, their newscast completely violated broadcasting rights, licensing agreements, and just showed like the ninth inning of that game. I don't know if they cut some kind of like crooked deal at the last minute, but it did not sound like they agreed to that. And they're like, hey, we're just going to go ahead and show the end of this game and like we'll deal with the rest of it later. And so I remember that just being crazy, because so often, like when awesome things happen in baseball, it feels like it didn't usually surround the Texas Rangers outside of like the brief run with Nolan Ryan. When cool things were happening, we were always surrounded by that. And so I liked it because, once again, much like what I talked about in the crosstalk with the home run derby, it felt like the entire baseball world was here for the Rangers and like here at the park. And I thought that was freaking awesome.
From the 817, one of my favorite moments from the ballpark is having my friend's bachelor party there and getting completely wasted. That's awesome. From the 903, favorite moment at the ballpark was kissing Betty Sue on the lips in the home run porch.
Is that like the kissing bandit, or
you ever made out at the game? You ever hooked up at the game?
I would not.
There's lots of places, Kevin, to slip
made
away.
Out. I'm sure I've kissed somebody at the game, but
oh, really?
Not made out.
Yeah, like like the A&M kiss where you just turned to the next person and made out with them.
Man, I think other sporting events should be more liberal with their kissing policies of just allowing people to kiss somebody if they're all excited about what happened. But I guess that's probably not going to happen.
From the
right,
man, I'm not gonna say that one. That was Nolan's eighth no hitter, where NBC was fined by Major League Baseball. Kevin.
Okay, well, first of all, he only has 7 no hitters, so it definitely wasn't that. His eighth no hitter is going to happen, as we've established, on Sunday. I feel like we've already set this up.
Oh my gosh, I remember this, Kevin. We got a text about this from the 817. Seen a lot of stolen bases at the ballpark. A man also stole my wife when I was watching the game, and she was sexting him. Most memorable moment was that. Let's just say everyone hit a homer with her.
What?
You so got to round the bases, Kevin.
This guy texted in a long time ago about this situation. I remember it.
And so
he even sent us pictures of it.
And I do kind of, that does sound familiar. And so he found out at the game.
Yeah.
That, oh,
hey, what
my
are you
Lord.
Doing over there?
Oh, my goodness.
From the 903, 12 years ago, tailgating before the game and after the game, Christmas until there was only 2 cars left. I don't know what Christmas means. In the parking lot, and security asked us to leave. They stuck around the entire time, 12 years ago, just tailgating. You ever tailgated before a Rangers game? Because you're not a drinker, so.
I don't think I have.
You just get there and get into the ballpark. I always wanted to get into the ballpark as soon as possible. Like, that was my whole goal. I wanted to see anything I could see. Anything they could let me see, I wanted to be part of it.
I want to throw this out there real quick. It's not my favorite, but if we're talking about maybe most memorable, this has got to be up there in the mix, is Shannon Stone. Do you guys remember that?
We were on air when
yes,
that happened.
Exactly. And we had not been on air for very long. And it was crazy because, and this is before we had the Rangers on our station. And so we didn't have like that immediate, like, these people from the Rangers will come and talk to you. And, you know, I just remember how it was just, it was really, really crushingly sad. And then you were hearing stories about his family and everything. And I was really proud of the job that we did that night, especially since we were pretty new to the thing. That seemed like a situation that we could have absolutely bungled. But yeah, I remember that situation very, very vividly, even though it's not something that like was particularly happy or cheerful at all. I remember that situation very, very clearly. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the acts have been announced for the Super Bowl halftime show. This thing still do anything for you? And if so, what's the best one you've ever seen? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at just $16,900. Visit them online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we talk a lot about the Super Bowl and what's going to happen this year for the Cowboys. Do they have a chance? Do they have a shot at being that team that lands in the Super Bowl? And Kevin, I real quickly want to ask you about this. Just saw Aaron Rodgers throw a pass that got his team to the goal line, and then they ran it in for a touchdown.
Okay.
And I know Aaron Rodgers on first down and goal wants to throw a touchdown pass for his numbers. I just feel like he's that kind of guy that's like, I want my numbers to stack up. Do you think if he went and won another Super Bowl, that would be the sell that LaFleur was trying? Look, man, you may want to run your offense, but the offense that I'm going to run is going to give us a better chance to win the Super Bowl. You think that Aaron Rodgers would like to get another Super Bowl rather than stack up his numbers for his career, or do you think that he wants to get those numbers up?
If he was smart, he would worry about stacking up Super Bowls.
Is that more important to the legacy of a quarterback?
That's all that matters. People don't say, "Oh, Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls," but really he had little to do with the first 2 of them. Like, they just say he won 6 Super Bowls.
I mean, we say that. We bring that up all the time.
Well, yeah, but we're definitely in the minority on this.
You think that's one of the reasons that Dak likes seeing his team all getting signed and being together, because he realizes that he could be sitting there at halftime listening to the sounds of J-Lo and Shakira at the Super Bowl this year if he just stays within the system?
Yes, and plus, by the way, winning comes with its own rewards. Like, he played lights out as a rookie, but they were also winning, which is why he finished 3rd or 4th in the MVP. If you win a couple Super Bowls and stack up a bunch of top 5 MVPs, well, you can just cruise your way into the Hall of Fame.
Because even if you're a great quarterback and your team doesn't win, then you don't get MVPs. You don't get the candidacy. I mean, you just don't get that, because that's what people say, is you have to be on a winning team.
Does anybody think Dan Fouts is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? He led the AFC in passing like 5 times.
I mean, I kind of do.
Okay, well, but you're an outlier on that. But again, Like, not really, because they didn't get to that next level.
The amazing thing about Dan Fouts is I think he never threw a damn spiral in his damn life. Every pass looked like a duck that had no direction, but it was where it was supposed to be.
It was on time every time.
Damn right.
KNC Masterpiece will be on time.
What does that mean?
This Sunday, we're going to be at Hero down at Victory Plaza. Want you to come out and party with us during the big game that features New Orleans football and Dallas football.
You can say the Cowboys and the Saints.
You can say it.
The local city football programs for that team. We will be there down at Hero. This place is freaking awesome. It's huge. It's going to be a great party. Show up Sunday night. We got some prizes to give away. May even have some hugs and puppet shows. But right now, we did get the announcement of who is going to be featured at this year's Super Bowl halftime show. The announcement features
Lil Yachty.
What? Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
Wow.
And I do want a question. I do have a question about this because Jay-Z and Reggie helped me out with this. What is Jay-Z's role with the NFL?
That's a great question.
Okay, because I just figured that there might be some different influences involved, but this is a very heavy Latina influence with these two women.
It's in Miami, right?
Yeah. So is that the reason why? Because they want to feature for the... I mean, neither one of them are... Is she from Miami? J-Lo's from the block.
No, yeah. She's Jenny from the block. She's from the block.
Yeah, but she's not from there.
But I mean, because the Latin community is pretty heavy in Miami, so I would wonder if that would be a selling point.
I feel like it gets more guys to watch the halftime show.
Because they got the hots.
And more women to watch the halftime show, because women like to look at pretty things, too.
Right. You got hips and a booty.
You're going to see so much midriff.
Mm-hmm. Does this
it's so awesome?
Okay, so I'm curious along those lines then. Does this still matter to you? Like, whenever they announce who's going to be doing the halftime show, are you like, I don't care, or do you care?
When Tom Petty did it, I freaking loved it. And like, that was because Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers are one of my favorite bands of all time, and I thought their show was fantastic. It was easy. It was a very easy show because they just do good, steady rock and roll. I liked it. I enjoyed the Aerosmith, Britney Spears, all the surprises. Remember when they all just, oh my God, who's next? And I really enjoyed seeing Big Boy get out there last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome, you know, because I really, really, really wanted to see Andre show up with him.
Yeah.
But Big Boy being out there was awesome. So there are things about the halftime show I want to see, but the NFL, Kevin, does such a big job of saying we have to, you know, keep y'all within these restraints on things.
Thanks, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. So, but I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to this show in particular because that's a bunch of hot on my screen.
Okay, because one of the things is I've become more and more intrigued by, like, whatever is counter-programming it, you know, for the longest time.
So you're always watching, like, the Puppy Bowl or whatever?
That doesn't counter-program.
Absolutely watch the Puppy Bowl.
You don't like music, though. So that makes sense.
That's true, but I feel like everybody who watches the Super Bowl halftime show hates... not everybody. Half the people hate life. Because every time I just want to see somebody go, it was fine. Like, I see people who are like, this is the worst thing ever. What happened to music? And then I see people who are like, this is the best thing ever. And anyone who doesn't like it is stupid. And very rarely.
Isn't that our country?
That, man, that's probably true.
We started this bipartisan ideal that you have to either love or hate something. You can't just be like, hey,
you
let's
cannot
all,
say, let's I all thought work it was together. Solid.
So, yeah. So, or,
I think you saw that with Dak, too, when we were like, Dak's a pretty good quarterback. No! He's the best quarterback or he's the worst quarterback. Like, there can
we
be did, no.
We
he's
just
pretty
saw that
good.
With Garrett contract yeah. talk.
No, you need to fire him, and you're smoking crack if you disagree, or you're a freaking idiot if you don't think he's the best. So you're probably right.
That's
about
just
that.
The way this country is, and I think you know we all get our chance to discuss it and to talk about it, and if we like it or not, you know, I don't know if it really affects our lives that much. Was there a time when the halftime show really affected our life? The only time I can think. Was when Whitney Houston did the national anthem. That affected my life. That really did. That was wonderful. It was a meaningful time in the country at the time.
Yeah, because you were going into the Persian Gulf War and stuff.
Yeah, and the Cowboys were there too. Don't forget about that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would never forget about that because that's part of the one that I was going to vote for. I don't think that was the Cowboys Super Bowl.
It wasn't? Okay. No. I thought that was Pasadena. My bad.
I think it was a couple years before that. So my best Super Bowl halftime show ever, and I feel kind of bad because, you know, like he went on to be a child molester, is Michael Jackson at Super Bowl 27, because that was the Cowboys' return to the Super Bowl for the first time in 15 years. And obviously they won that Super Bowl by 35 points, although it felt like 8 million. And so I really remember enjoying that, but that was when I was a kid and that's when I cared more about it. Like now that's why I was curious if people still care, because the thing is, like, you can pop on some episode of one of your shows on Netflix, like if it's a short show or something like that, or it's counter-programmed with wrestling or the Puppy Bowl or whatever else it is. Like, that's why I was curious if people still got amped up for this. Like, when this announcement got made today, were people like, okay, or were they like, I don't care?
Well, I mean, I've never been, like, super excited, even when they had bands on that I particularly like, whether you're talking about Petty or you're talking about Aerosmith was there.
Prince was fantastic.
Prince was awesome. Great.
But it's an understatement.
But as far as just being super excited to have that, what, 7 minutes of mashing every one of their songs together,
mm-hmm.
just so you can hear your favorite song also played during the halftime show?
Yes.
And then yes. It's over? I'm like, it's almost like staring at a refrigerator that has 6 beers in it, and you realize that's not enough.
Mm. Okay,
that's just not enough to do anything.
Well, I'll tell you this, and somebody just said from the 817, Foo Fighters would be cool. The Foo Fighters, the night before last Super Bowl, they did like a 4-hour concert live from outside of the Super Bowl. They said it's kind of crazy because somebody just paid us to come here and rock all night. They paid us to come here and rock for 2 hours. That's not going to happen. That's what Dave Grohl kept saying. They said they told us to do this for 2 hours, but it's not going to happen. They brought out the drummer from Queen and played Under Pressure.
Yeah.
They kept bringing people out and having an awesome night for the show, and they played every one of their hits, Colby. They played all their good stuff, and they just did what they do and rocked the stage. But I don't think they could do a halftime show because, A, they have a lot of hits. B, that's what they were capable of pulling together for a show the night before. And C, they cuss so much that I think once they do, you know, once they do that on air, they're going to be like, well, hey, chill out just a little bit. So the Foo Fighters would be awesome because they're a band that hits a lot of notes. But I think mixing together the right mix of talent and being able to get a good show is what's most important. But, you know, the talent wants to get one of their big hits out, right?
Yeah.
Got to perform one of my new hits from my new album.
Because their downloads skyrocket. Like, it used to be their album sales would skyrocket, but now they say, like, downloads go up more than 1,000%.
Wow.
After the Super Bowl because of that. So, like, when you talk about, oh, what does it pay? Well, don't worry about that. Like, it'll pay plenty on the other side of it.
Don't you still have to pay them, like, for your tour sales that year, too?
Yeah, there's some, like, weird thing where I can't remember exactly what it is, but the NFL, like, definitely makes you work to get that spot. But then once you get it, it turns out pretty well.
Well, the thing about it is if the idea is that they're getting exposure, this actually points to why a lot of people end up being disappointed when it's announced who's performing, because the people who need that exposure aren't the people that the Super Bowl needs in the halftime show. The Super Bowl has gotten so big in the cultural zeitgeist that, like, they need superstars, but superstars don't need the exposure of the Super Bowl because they're superstars.
If you had,
I don't know. I disagree with that because this is still a pretty desired spot. Just some people don't want to jump through those hoops, and everybody likes money.
But that's the thing, is there's a lot of hoops there, right? Like, the people that are really good would like a lot of a creative control. The NFL's not giving you that, partially because of what happened, you know, with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. Like, they don't want things that'll go beyond their purview because they're kind of a little afraid of this, and rightfully so.
Man, from the 214, best ever was Janet Jackson and JT. The guy who pulled the top off got away with it scot-free, and Janet Jackson got all the blame.
Okay, well, that's a little bit of a misnomer because Justin Timberlake matters a lot more than Janet Jackson does.
Come on now.
Sorry, Reggie. I know that's tough for you, but you have to agree that now when people are like,
but that's part of
Janet Jackson can't come back, she doesn't matter anymore. Like, she doesn't matter at that level. Like, if you look at some of the people they go after people that they think are going to draw an audience. They don't care about, like, the music stylings or anything like that. They're like, are you going to be safe enough? And are you going to draw us a number with the rest of the game? Janet Jackson's not drawing a number. Justin Timberlake is drawing a number. That's why he comes back. It doesn't have anything to do with man, woman, race, or anything like that. And everybody who says differently, I think that's a bunch of nonsense.
Well, I wasn't talking about man, woman, race.
I think if you say differently, you're smoking crack.
That's a good point.
So it goes. What? Maybe I'll be impeached.
Huh?
Oh. Politics.
I like peaches.
Oh. If you had cultural zeitgeist on your KNC word,
I do like that. I do like that word.
You don't have the right paper. You got it for a different show.
How did you end up on this show if you expected to hear Zeitgeist?
Sorry.
No, I liked it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the most awesome prop bet in the history of sports. Next right here on The Fan.
I think that's an oversell.
Is it?
It's winner take all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.